to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to encourage you to pick up your copy of Slime Incorporated. It's my first full-length detective novel, and it is a mix of a classic style with a very modern feel. It's available as a paperback, as an ebook, or as an audiobook through audible.com, and that's Slime Incorporated. All right, now we're going to discuss our star, Wally Mayer, who's actually in this week's episode. Wally Mayer came to radio acting in the 1930s, really just established himself as somebody who was very good in comedic roles, got cast as a policeman in particular in a lot of comedy radio adaptations for Lux Radio Theater. During the war, he was actually 4F. He had lifelong respiratory problems that made it so he couldn't actually serve in the military. However, his main 4F gave him the ability to play a lot of roles over the radio. Ironically, really established a relationship with Cavalcade of America, became one of their regulars, played a lot of military roles. If you listen to my podcast, The War, you would have heard him in all kinds of programs during the war era, particularly Cavalcade, and just played a ton of servicemen. And he also got his one and only starring role in Michael Shane, Private Detective. And, of course, he had those other recurring roles we've mentioned before, and which you've already heard on this program, playing Lieutenant Riley on Let George Do It and Matt Greb on The Lineup. He also played the role of Screwy Squirrel, who, as much as I love Wally Mayer, was probably one of the most annoying cartoon characters ever. But at any rate, we will go ahead and we'll take a listen to today's episode of Michael Shane. The original air date was April the 9th of 1945, and the title is The Ghost of Moccasin Hill.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 gasoline and Triton motor oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. As a loyal native of San Francisco, Mike Shane would like to solve all his cases right inside the city limits. However, this is not one of those times. Right now, Mike and his assistant Phyllis Knight are a 2 hours drive east of the city by the Golden Gate. Also right now, Mike is on the long-distance phone talking to, you guessed it, Inspector Faraday.
No, Faraday. Moccasin Hill. It's a little town on the highway east of Stockton.
Oh, I remember it now. That's where rich old man Kilgallen died last month.
Right. They said his house was haunted and somebody frightened him to death.
Yeah, that's what his daughter said. She tried to get us to investigate. Listen, Mike, you're not getting roped into that, are you?
Inspector, right now I'm sitting in the chair where they found the corpse.
Oh, Mike, you're not dizzy enough to think a ghost killed him. It was heart failure.
Maybe. I've just been talking to the daughter. It looks like somebody's been trying to give her the business, too, like dropping a flower pot on her head.
So you call long distance to tell me that?
No, Inspector. Look, I want you to find out if a Mr. John Himes of Boston, Mass. Was in San Francisco 4 weeks ago. One of your boys can check the hotels, trains, and airlines.
John Himes, Boston. Well, it's a waste of time, but for you, Mike, okay.
And look, phone me back at Moccasin Hill 193.
Got it. Oh, Mike.
Yeah?
Don't look now, but I think there's a ghost behind you.
What? Oh, that guy.
Mike, the inspector giving you the Bronx cheer, Mike?
Yeah, darling. Oh, Miss Kilgallen, one thing more about your cousin, John Himes. Did you two ever quarrel about your father's estate?
Why, no, Mr. Shane. There's no reason for you to suspect John. He's the only other heir, but he'd never kill Father or try to remove me. I'm sure of it.
Besides, Mike, he lives in Boston, 3,000 miles away.
But he makes frequent visits to the coast. Miss Kilgallen just finished telling us that.
I'm sorry.
Well, what do you say we have a look around the house now, huh? I want to know where the ghost hangs out.
Well, as I said, Mr. Shane, they found my father here in the living room, in the chair you were just using.
Mm-hmm. What's this next room?
Father's hobby room. Oh, he kept his photographs and guns and hunting trophies in here.
Oh, Japers. He had plenty of them. Deer heads, mountain lions, fox.
And they're terribly old. Father wasn't strong enough to hunt in his last years. He had to content himself with his guns.
Mm-hmm. The collection covers a whole wall. You know, it's funny, but this room seems much more worn and older than the living room.
It is. Granddad built the house back in the 1860s.
Hmm?
The other rooms were added on around it.
Wow.
Father tried to keep the old part as it was.
Mike, look.
Hmm?
Look, here's a souvenir of early California.
Yes.
A poster giving the schedules of the Wells Fargo stages.
Really?
Yes,
wonderful.
Moccasin Hill was right on the old stage route. Oh, that long pistol you see above the fireplace, that was used by Black Miguel to hold up the stages.
Oh?
Hey.
Hmm?
What in heaven's name is that?
Sounds like a lost soul, doesn't it?
Oh.
Scared me the first time I heard it. It's just an owl in the chimney up in the attic.
Atmosphere, Angel. Atmosphere. Oh. Every well-run haunted house has an owl in the attic. Now, Miss Kilgallen, I was just noticing the odd shape of this room. Half of the ceiling is so much lower than...
That's because Father tore down the partition. On the other side, it was a secret room. We had several secret rooms, just like a movie set. Last year, Father tore out all the sliding panels and made them into perfectly honest rooms.
Well, your granddad must have been a queer old duck. Somehow I can't picture a girl like you living in this curiosity.
I don't intend to. Especially not after Father's... Well, anyway, it's too far from college.
Miss Kilgallen, you said you were away at school when your father died, huh?
Yes. I'll sell the place as soon as I get a fair bid. I don't know. Maybe Cousin John will take it. He wrote me that he'd like to if I'd sell for $20,000.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous. It's worth much more than that.
Which is why I suspect Cousin John. Well, now, come on. Let's go outside again. I want to take another look at that busted flower pot.
All right. We can go through the terrace door here.
Look. Look, Mike. Who's the old character in the straw hat?
What? Hey, wait a minute. He's sweeping up the flower pot. Hold on. Hold on, partner.
Oh, he's the gardener, old Dick.
What's he? You talking to me, young
yes,
feller?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just leave the pieces of the flower pot right there, huh? We want them for sentimental reasons.
Well, Miss Kilgallen always told me to keep things spruce.
It's all right this time, Dick. You weren't here yesterday, and you don't understand.
By the way, sir, how long have you been gardening here?
3-4 months, I reckon. You wanting a handyman?
No, I was just wondering. Do you, know anything strange about this house? I mean, like, being haunted?
Of course it's haunted. You don't know who by, but I vomit ain't no place I'd hanker to live. I told Mr. Kilgallen...
Did he think it was haunted?
Of course he did. The hants got him, too. They'll get everybody. You just listen a spell. You'll hear footsteps without no feet and moanings and things.
That's true enough, but they're not from the spiritual world.
Let me see. The flower pot fell from this balcony directly overhead.
Yes. It couldn't have just happened. The pot was too big and heavy to jiggle off the railing.
Yeah, but you saw no one push it.
I wasn't looking up. It was warm yesterday afternoon, and I was watering the geraniums here. Just as I stooped over, it came down crash.
2 seconds earlier, it would have crushed your skull. I think I'll climb these stairs and give the balcony a once-over.
Hey, you be careful, Mike. Don't push another pot down on us, huh?
You're giving me ideas, my darling.
Mike, look out!
What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
Mike! Oh, Mike, are you hurt?
Baby, that was a close call. If I hadn't grabbed the railing...
Well, Mike, the steps just gave way under you. They're rotten.
No, Angel, no, sir. They were meant to give way. Look at the underside of this next step.
Huh? Mike. Why, that sawed halfway through.
Yes. Evidently the ghost of Moccasin Hill wants company.
In just a moment, we'll rejoin Mike Shane and Phyllis Knight in their adventures. As your car gets older, its bearings wear down. The bushings enlarge and the joints and fittings loosen up and rattle. This means that lubrication becomes increasingly important in relieving friction and protecting worn parts against extra shock and strain. And since even the latest cars are now almost 4 years old, no one can afford to take a chance on a careless grease job. That is why the Union Oil Minutemen take such pride in stop wear lubrication. Each job of stop wear lubrication is performed so carefully and accurately, it is guaranteed in writing. When your car receives stop wear lubrication, you can be sure that only the finest high-quality greases are used throughout. And you can also be sure that each fitting and bearing will be thoroughly lubricated according to the manufacturer's specifications. While your car is on the hoist, the Minuteman will inspect out-of-sight points and check them for danger signs. So, ladies and gentlemen, for smoother, safer driving, ask your Union Oil Minuteman for Stop Wear Guaranteed Lubrication. Stop Wear is an exclusive process available only at Union Oil Minuteman stations. Remember, Stop Wear Lubrication is guaranteed. Mike and Phyllis are still searching through the ancient house on Moccasin Hill, stalking the ghost who throws flower pots and designs collapsing staircases. Right now, they are interrupted by a new arrival.
Why, Mr. Patton, won't you come in?
Thank you, Miss Kilgallen. I happened to see your car in the driveway, and I thought I'd stop in a moment.
I'm glad you did. Oh, I want you to meet some friends. This is Mr. Shane and Miss Knight from San Francisco.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, sir? Patton?
Mr. Patton was my father's attorney. He's handling the estate.
Yes, It's in that regard, Miss Kilgallen, that I'd like to talk to you. Could we go into the living room?
Certainly. You too, Mr. Shane and Miss Knight.
All right. I thought it might be better if we talked alone.
Well, I have no secrets, Mr. Patton. And I think Mr. Shane may want to ask you some questions about Father.
Strictly in the line of duty, Mr. Patton. I've been retained to investigate Mr. Kilgallen's death.
Well, my dear girl, you're wasting your money. Your father died of heart disease.
Perhaps, but what was it you wished to see me about?
Oh, yes. Miss Kilgallen, I've thought it over, and I'm now prepared to offer you $22,500. I think that's a generous sum indeed for this property.
I'm sorry, Mr. Patton. You know that Father put over twice that much money into the place, and it has historic value.
May I ask why you want to buy it?
Why, that's obvious, sir, to live in. It won't be easy to dispose of with her father's death and certain rumors about the property. I think I'm doing her a kindness.
I'll answer it.
These are rumors, Mr. Patton. Did this girl's father tell you anything that would bear them out?
Well, Mr. Kilgallen was an ill man, sir. He had a rather morbid turn of mind, of course.
It's for you, Mr. Shane, San Francisco.
Oh, that's Faraday. Excuse me, please. Hello, Inspector. You did. Well, a pat on the old back, my boy. Right now? Okay, hold him there. Or better still, bring him out here. Oh, I see. Then I guess he's out of reach by now. No, nothing much, Inspector, except that you almost lost your best pinochle partner. Well, the ghost pulled the staircase out from under me. Don't worry, I'm watching out. But thanks for trying, Faraday.
No hits, no runs, no ball game, huh?
Mr. John Himes was registered at the Palace Hotel at or about the time the old man died. He also registered there just 2 days ago.
Mike, you were right.
And checked out this morning. Destination unknown.
Oh. Even so, I'm sure you're wrong, Mr. Shane.
Well, Miss Kilgallen, I take it you're rejecting my offer?
I'm afraid I must.
Well, very well. It's been a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
And Miss Knight.
Thank you.
Oh, I almost forgot. I found you a new gardener. His name is Fred Norman. I brought him along with me. He's right outside.
But I can't fire poor old Dick.
You won't have to for a day or two. I'll need both men to help me on a little job.
Oh, very well. You'll find Fred waiting at the back door. Good day.
Good day, sir.
Mike, what are you up to? What job? Are we staying here?
Not so loud, honey. I haven't any job for him, but I think Mr. Patton has.
Oh, you mean this new gardener is a spy, huh?
I mean. Well, we'll give him something to prick up his ears about.
Okay.
Miss Kilgallen, I want a tape measure, the longest you can find, please.
What on earth for?
Something tells me your ghost haunts a very secret room. We're going to find that room by yard, feet, and inches.
I dropped it again.
Well, hold on to it, honey. It's a tape measure, not a snake.
Oh, quiet. I'm tired, Mike. We've spent over 2 hours measuring this house, every room, every hall, every closet. We haven't found a thing.
Well, the hall is 53 feet long. Now, Miss Kilgallen, what did we find in the living room?
Let's see. It's on this other paper. It says here 30 feet.
30 feet. And the gun room next to it?
14 feet each way.
That totals 44 feet plus 1 foot for the wall. That's it. Yeah, sir, there's 8 feet missing.
Fine. How do we get into this secret room? By pickaxe?
Come on, into the gun room.
But, Mr. Shane, Father knew all our secret rooms. He had them all open.
Well, he didn't know about this one, or maybe he just lost count.
Okay, now, honey, you take the far end of the wall and I'll start at this end. There's got to be a hidden spring or something. Now pound every inch of the woodwork.
All right.
It doesn't sound hollow.
Well, that's why nobody suspected it. Come on, use some muscle, honey. You're just playing patty cake.
Listen, Mike, Shane, I haven't got calluses on my knuckles. Mike!
Huh?
Mike, this panel, it moved.
What? This is it, kids.
It only moved an inch or so.
I'll pull it open. There you are.
It's dark as a coal bin inside.
I'll strike a match.
Good.
Now we shall see what we shall see.
Look! Isn't that an old table and a chair?
Well, what's more important, a candle. We can get some real light.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, honey.
It's dusty in here.
Well, sneeze the other way. You almost blew these off the table.
Blew what off?
These papers here. Newspaper clippings. Oh, they're so old, they're brown.
Well, what on earth are they doing in here?
I don't know. They're printed in old-fashioned type. Must be 60 or 70 years old. Hold on here. Hold on. Miss Kilgallen, what did you say the name was of that stage robber?
You mean Black Miguel?
Yeah. Here, read this. Maybe this will mean something to you.
Driver Billy Pringle reported to the sheriff that on Wednesday night his stage broke down at Moccasin Hill. Pringle took the express box to the Kilgallen house.
Hey, that's your grandfather.
I remember hearing some sort of story.
Go on, reading.
During the night, Black Miguel assaulted the driver. As he attempted to flee with a small fortune, Mr. Pringle shot and killed him. The express box, however, was not recovered. The authorities are now searching.
You know, this sounds like something out of Treasure Island.
You can say that again, honey. Here, here's a diagram with everything on it except dig at the foot of the crooked pine tree.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, that paper's almost new.
Well, it would have to be. The handwriting is my father's.
Well, then he did know about this room.
Yes, and he must have spent plenty of time in here. Candle drippings all over the table.
You know, there's something funny about them. You notice how heavy the dust and grit is on the table? Yet when I rub my finger over the wax spots...
There's no dust on them. They're fresh.
Yeah.
It's Shane.
Shh, shh. It's the living room wall.
Somebody else wants in.
Blow out the candle. We're leaving.
I don't see anybody.
No. Wait till I push this panel back.
Mike. Mike, you're not going to use your gun.
Come on, follow me into the living room. Quietly. Hands in the air, mister.
Huh? What?
Well, Fred Norman, the gardener.
Get that gun away. You ain't got no call.
We heard you pounding that wall.
Whatever it was. Thought I could knock the ashes out of his pipe, can he?
Yeah, but you're a gardener. What are you doing in here?
I was looking for Miss Kilgallen. I wanted to know about the rose bushes. But I guess I don't want to work here at all.
What was that?
The front door.
Hey, don't you answer the door in this house?
That's Faraday.
Inspector Faraday. Well, since when is Moccasin Hill your bailiwick?
Oh, I guess I'm just an old maid. Got to worrying about your neck. Not that I wouldn't like to bust it myself sometimes.
Well, I'll save it for you, just for you, Daddy.
Here, here.
No, all kidding aside, Faraday, there's something going on here which ain't done with mirrors.
I'll say not. We found a secret room, papers telling of a stagecoach robbery 70 years ago, a map of where the treasure's buried.
Plus rapping noises, hot and cold running spooks, anything you want, we got it.
Uh-huh, yes. Has your cigarette tasted different lately?
No, we mean it, Inspector. Somebody's putting on a spook act to frighten people away from here, even if it means killing people.
Somebody wants the old express box, and he's willing to kill people to get it.
Yeah, right out of this morning's comic strip. Ghost turns out to be an ex-pirate with a peg leg.
All right, don't take our word for it. Come on, we'll show you the secret room. Now watch. I'll press this wall panel here, and...
Well, I'll be...
See, Inspector?
Stoop as you go in, or you'll bump your noggin.
Any light switch in here?
No, there's a candle on the table. I'll light it.
Well, you weren't kidding.
No, not this trip. Now, here are the papers I was talking about.
Mike.
Hey, wait a minute.
The papers. Mike, they're gone.
All right, come on now. We mean business, Fred. Come on, hand over those papers. We know where you got them.
I don't know nothing about any papers, and I don't know nothing about any secret room.
You're lying. Patton brought you here. He hired you to steal them for him.
What's more, you ain't no gardener. Old Dick can tell you that. Don't know a shovel from a hoe.
I'm leaving right now. I wouldn't work here for no kind of money.
You're staying right here. You're not to leave this property, you understand?
Maybe I won't, or maybe I will.
You don't trust that feller. It's all right with you folks. I'll kind of follow him around. Keep my eye on him.
Good idea. But let him do anything he wants. He'll tip his hand yet.
Well, I don't see why you didn't search him for the missing papers.
It's useless, honey. He's smart. He's already hidden them somewhere.
Seems to be, Mr. Shane. This is all beside the point. I wanted you to find out if my father was murdered.
Afraid that's impossible for any detective, miss. No one saw him die. He's been dead for days when he was found. Karen only made a rough guess when it happened.
I think we can establish the time, Faraday. We were looking at the old gentleman's diary. It's here on the desk.
Father was very religious in keeping up his diary. He wrote down everything he did.
The final entry was made on the 17th of last month. Here it is. Quote, rained all day. Afternoon spent cleaning and oiling all my guns. Had to fix the pin on the Derringer.
That's a pistol, isn't it, Mike?
Mm-hmm. It's a short barrel, heavy caliber, darling.
Just a minute. The Derringer.
Well, what about it?
Well, Father always kept it on top of the bookcase. It's gone.
Probably forgot to put it back after he fixed it.
Yes, but getting back to the diary, these are his last sentences. Heard the noises again. It laughed and moaned. Next time it happens, I'll... And there he stopped.
Right in the middle of a sentence.
Oh, that front door. You'd think this was a housewarming.
As I see it, Faraday, the old fellow heard something again. He stopped writing, got up, went into the living room to check up. Whatever he saw or heard stopped his heart. Mm. He was found in the chair by the telephone.
And I thought you were acting for me.
Hey, what goes on?
Well, I'm just as surprised as you are. This is John Himes, my cousin.
The fellow from Boston.
Well, sir, I'm very happy to meet you. My name is Mike Shane.
Oh, yes. Mr. Patton said you were investigating, looking me up.
I understand you were in California last month about the time Mr. Kilgallen died.
Yes, I was.
And you're here now. Why?
On business. I came up to see Patton about buying this property. I wrote to my cousin and to him as her attorney and made an offer. Now I find Patton is trying to buy the place himself.
And in case you didn't succeed, Mr. Patton, you hired Fred Norman, the fake gardener, to steal those papers from the secret room.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Himes, what is your interest in this property? We understand you live in Boston.
Well, my firm is transferring me to San Francisco. I'd like to have a country home.
Just what is your business?
I can see you're suspicious. Perhaps you'd rather look at one of my cards.
Well, it wouldn't hurt.
Here you are.
Thank you. Investment banking.
Michael... Inspector, could I see you alone a moment?
Can't it wait, honey?
No, it'll just take a minute.
Oh, all right. Excuse us, please.
Come on, let's go into the living room, huh?
You look as wise as the Sphinx, Phil. You solved the case?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Now, this is it. I was standing right next to Himes, Mike, when he took out his wallet to give you that card.
And?
Well, there was an envelope tucked into a pocket of the wallet. Airline tickets. But the name written on the envelope said Gene Powers.
Gene Powers?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't add up, honey. The girl introduced him as her cousin. She said John Himes.
She said. Do we have to believe her?
I'm going to phone headquarters. Gene Powers may have a record.
No, no!
Hey. What's that?
No.
Heavens!
It's outside. Come on, quick.
The front door's open.
Yeah.
Mike. Mike, look. Mike in the driveway.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, cross off one suspect.
Ooh.
Attorney at law, Stephen Patton.
And add another. I just saw somebody on the balcony.
Hmm?
Who? Who did you see?
Alan Kilgallen.
We'll rejoin Mike and Phyllis in just a moment. If you ever had a jack slip when you were changing a tire, you get a pretty forceful demonstration of how much a car weighs. Now, all that weight rests directly on the wheel bearings, and as you travel, those wheel bearings must revolve rapidly and still support the heavy weight of the car. Because of this concentrated pressure, and because they're also liable to damage from brake dust, grit, and water, front wheel bearings need the best possible lubrication. Failure to keep these bearings properly lubricated, they result in expensive repairs, requiring parts now hard to get. Your neighborhood Union Oil Minuteman knows this. That's why he takes such pains to do a thorough job of lubricating front wheel bearings. First, he washes out all the old grease and dirt with solvent. Then the bearings and races are individually cleaned until they are dry and shiny. Finally, the clean, polished bearings are replaced in the races. Then, with special equipment, every surface is snugly packed in a thick coating of Union Oil wheel bearing grease. Then your front wheels are all set for months of well-lubricated, easy rolling. The cost for the entire service of your front wheel bearing assembly is nominal. So for safer, easier driving, just stop in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Oil's front wheel bearing service. Thank you.
second man has died at the strange old house in Moccasin Hill. While Phyllis telephones for the local police, Mike and Inspector Faraday are in the gun room questioning four uneasy people.
Now we know what we're talking about. One of you here in this room killed Steve Patton because he knew too much or because he was double-crossing you.
Miss Kilgallen, we'll start with you. What were you doing upstairs in that balcony?
Why, I heard the shot and I ran out to see what happened.
Oh, that's no answer. When we left this room, you and your cousin were with Patton. Now, why did you go upstairs?
To get Father's old watch for John. Father left it to him in his will. Does that satisfy you?
Maybe. And you, Mr. Hines, where were you when the shot was fired?
Why, I was following Ellen upstairs to get the watch. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, no, I guess her cousin is entitled to the heirloom. But not a guy named Gene Powers.
What? Oh, so that's it. Sharp eyes, Mr. Shane.
The credit goes to Miss Knight.
Well, it's quite innocent, really. Gene Powers is a friend of mine, and he had a plane ticket for New York tonight. He couldn't get away, so I'm using his priority.
We'll check on that. You, Fred Norman.
I was in the kitchen eating. Can't send a man to jail for swiping a chicken wing.
You were watching him, Dick?
Yes, sir.
He wasn't even in the room.
Oh, I was watching you through the hall door, waiting for you to do something.
Okay. Now we're going to ask all of you to empty your pockets. Each one put his stuff in a pile on this table.
What for?
We're asking the questions. Start digging.
I know what you're up to. Looking for the gun that killed him.
No, the murderer saved us that trouble. He put it right back where he got it. The derringer there in the bookcase.
Why, yes, it's back.
All right, Mr. Hines, now let's see what you've dished out.
Handkerchief, penknife, billfold, notebook, small change.
And you, Dick?
Oh, I ain't got much. Old oil rag, a knife, a busted pack of seeds, and four bits.
Fred?
Handkerchief, knife, pencil, and some money.
Yes, too much money for a gardener. $50?
Well, that's Patton's money. He bribed him.
Obviously. Any pockets in your dress, Miss Kilgallen?
No. If you tell us what you want, I'm sure...
All right, now... After the three of us ran out and found Patton, we did a quick circle around the outside of the house. We tried to come back in through this terrace door. It was locked and the key gone.
That's odd. We used the door a little earlier.
Yes, so did the murderer a little later. Fired a shot from the terrace, ducked back in, locked the door, and went to another part of the house.
I'm sorry to spoil the game, kiddies.
What? What's...
But is this what you want?
The key. Mm-hmm.
I found it by the door.
Well, what do you know?
It had slipped under the carpet, Mike.
All right, folks, you can put your stuff back in your pockets.
Oh.
Too bad, Mike. It almost worked.
Ah, but it did work.
What?
In a way we hadn't counted on.
Now, wait a minute, Mike. You know the killer?
Positively, darling. The confession is right on top of that table in the secret room.
I don't get it, Mike. There's nothing on this table.
Just a candle, dust and grit and splotches of wax.
That's all, Angel, but it's enough to convict the murderer.
Oh, folly, daughter. Nobody ain't ever hanged a ghost. Take more than a smart big city detective.
Well, I can't believe the motive. I don't think there's any buried treasure.
It's quite possible, but Patton and his killer thought otherwise. They wanted no one on this property while they were hunting. So, the haunted house routine.
But how could Mr. Patton be so cold-blooded? Father's friend and attorney deliberately scaring him to death.
Well, he probably didn't intend to go that far, Miss Kilgallen. Hey, come on, Mike. Who gave Patton the tit-for-tat, huh?
All right. Now, as you notice from these candle drippings, somebody spent plenty of time at this table going over the papers about Black Miguel in the express box.
Father, we found that diagram in his handwriting.
And somebody else in just the last day or so. Somebody who emptied his pockets onto this table, perhaps searching for a pencil and notepaper.
Mike, there's a limit to crystal gazing. You can't...
Can't I? Brush your hand over the tabletop. That's it. Now, what have you got in your palm?
Dust and grit.
All right, now pick out some of that grit and eat it. Go on, it's not dirt.
Seems to me... Yeah, I'm sure I've tasted this before.
Yes, in restaurants, on rolls. It's poppy seed.
Oh, this is the end.
And in whose pockets did we find a broken package of poppy seed?
Hey, Dix, the gardener.
All right, maybe I was in there. I used to play in this house when I was a kid. It was all busted down. I knew every inch of it. That don't spell nothing.
No, it does. You were very careful not to tell us about this room, not even Mr. Patton.
You're right, mister. Patton hired me to watch Dick and you folks. Figured Dick was cheating.
That ain't saying I killed him. Nobody can say that.
A dead man's diary can, Dick. The day Mr. Kilgallen died, he wrote that he cleaned all his guns, including the old derringer.
You mean there are only two sets of fingerprints on the gun?
Yes.
Kilgallen's? The man who fired it.
Yes, Dick. That's exactly what I mean.
know something? That was very sweet of you, Faraday, coming clear out to Moxon Hill just to be Mike's bodyguard.
Yes, sir. And driving us back home in a police car sure beats that bus trip. Was doggone nice of you, Faraday.
Ah, cut the sentiment. Maybe I just want to sell a couple of extra tickets to the policeman's ball.
Oh, we need those. As a policeman, Mr. Inspector, and as a detective, Mr. Shane, there's one thing you did in this case which I don't understand.
Only one? Miss Knight, you are improving.
Smarty. You and Mike knew you could catch old Dick by his fingerprints on the Derringer, so why'd you bother to look for a missing door key and Mike act so big and brainy about the poppy seeds?
Honey, never put all your money on one horse. We were both afraid Dick had already wiped his fingerprints off the gun, but we didn't tell him that.
Time was a-wasting, and it was a good shortcut.
Just as I thought. The big city boys had to crack it fast before the local hayseeds took over the case. And your glory.
Why, Phyllis, how can you say such a thing?
And again next week at 8:30 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis with Joe Forte. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, a decent mystery, a lot of misdirection throughout. The first time I listened to this, I would not have guessed the gardener. And also really appreciated the chemistry between Wally Mayer, Kathy Lewis, and Joe Forte. It really works beautifully in this story. And I've not listened to all of the Wally Mayer, Michael Shane episodes, and this definitely makes me look forward to hearing even more. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's program. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about Kathy Lewis. If you do have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.